Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessy Buselnovic, and today we are studying the fourth chapter of Sefer Micha, the Book of Micah. Until now, we have only acquainted ourselves with Micha's prophecies of rebuke and punishment, with the exception of two psukim verses in Perek Bet, chapter 2. However, a Navi must take care to offer the people words of consolation as well as chastisement, letting them know that there will be a light at the end of the long dark tunnel that lies ahead. Moreover, the Navi must temper his visions of gloom and doom, lest his audiences write him off as a curmudgeon who wishes them only suffering. In the next two chapters, Micha offers comfort to Malchut Yehudah, the kingdom of Judea, whose capital was Jerusalem, where the Bet HaMikdash was located. Micha consoles the people by envisioning the eventual return from exile and the rebuilding of the Bet HaMikdash. This parak may be divided into three sections. Psukim Aleph through Hay, verses 1 through 5, introduce the idea of Achrit HaYamim, the end of days, and describe the restoration of the Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, as the center of spiritualism, a center towards which all nations shall flock. These psukim also include a description of the Melech HaMashiach, who will pass judgment over the nations of the world. Vav through Zion, psukim 6 and 7, depict Kibbutz Galuyot, the ingathering of exiles. And psukim Chet through Yudalid, 8 through 14, speak to the security of the new kingdom. No longer will Bnei Israel have reason to fear their foes, for they will know that Hashem is with them. We will begin with the opening pasuk, which contains three parallel feet. I hope you will listen for them as I read. V'haya, b'acharit hayamim, yiyehar bet Hashem nachon b'rosh harim, v'nisahu migvaot, v'naharu alav amim. And it shall be that in the end of days, the Temple Mount will be securely affixed at the head of all mountains. It shall be raised above all hills, and all the nations of the world will be drawn towards it. The prophet is, of course, speaking metaphorically. Last time I checked, mountains had no heads. The import of this verse is that the Bet HaMikdash will be acknowledged as foremost, the highest of all spiritual centers of the world. I love the word Naharu, which is translated, they will be drawn. Nahar, you see, is Hebrew for river. The Navi tells us that at the end of days, the nations of the world will stream towards the new Jewish kingdom as though drawn there by a current. And now, Pasuk Bet. 2. V'holchu goyim rabim, v'yamru, l'chu v'na'alel har Hashem v'el bet Elokei Yaakov, v'yorenu mitrachav, v'nelcha bi'orchotav, ki mitzion tetzei Torah, u'dvar Hashem mirushalayim. And a multitude of nations will get together and say, come, let us ascend to the mountain of Hashem, to the sanctuary of the Lord of Yaakov, so that he will teach us of his words and we will follow in his paths. For Torah shall come forth out of Zion, and the word of Hashem out of Yerushalayim. Many say that the word Torah in this pasuk denotes teaching, instruction, rather than the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that Moshe received on Har Sinai. Think of it as Torah with a lowercase tav. The subtext suggests that whereas the nations of the world will not realize Hashem's greatness and seek to learn his ways until the end of days, what's our excuse? We are already aware of Hashem and his teachings, so why not get a head start by doing tshuva now? The Parshanim, commentators, are divided about the identity of the pronoun he in this verse and the following. Some hold that he refers to Hashem. Others believe that the psukim are referencing Melech HaMashiach. The prophecy continues as follows in Pasuk Gimel 3. V'shafat ben amim rabim v'hochiach l'goyim atzumim ad rachok. V'chititu charvoteihem le'itim v'chanitoteihem le'mazmerot. Lo yisa'u goy el goy cherev v'lo yilmedun od milchama. He shall judge among many nations, and he will rebuke mighty nations from far away. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning irons. No longer will one nation raise its sword against another, nor will they continue to study the tactics of war. Among the mighty nations from afar who will face judgment shall be the various peoples who throughout history tormented the Jews. Once justice is achieved, peace will reign throughout the world. Agav, by the way, if beating swords into plowshares strikes a familiar chord with you, that is because we have already encountered this motif in Sefer Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 2. In addition, the quote has been engraved upon the Isaiah wall across the road from United Nations headquarters. Finally, a sculpture called Let Us Beat Our Swords into Plowshares is located in the United Nations garden. There are other familiar expressions in Pasuk Dalet 4. V'yashvu ish tachat gafno v'tachat enato v'en macharid ki pi Hashem tzvakot diber. They will dwell each beneath his vine and his fig tree, and none shall cause them to tremble with fear, for this has been ordained through the mouth of Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts. This first section of the Perek concludes with Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Ki chol ha'amim yelechu, ish b'shem Elokav, v'anachnu nelech b'shem Hashem Elokeinu la'olam va'ed. For all of the nations shall go, each in the name of its respective gods. And we too shall go in the name of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our Lord, forevermore. In the Yamim Ha'achronim, every nation will come forth under the banner of its own brand of paganism. Well, we already know how that's going to end. As Yeshayahu put it, V'ha'elilim kalil yachalof, the idols will be completely destroyed. And as Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, put it, the idolatrous nations will recognize that their ancestors instilled in them beliefs that were false. Once the truth dawns on them, they will all seek Hashem so that they may follow in his ways. We, on the other hand, go forth in the name of Hashem, who is eternal, and as such, we will follow in his ways forevermore. The next section, verses 6 and 7, describes the ingathering of exiles, Kibbutz Galuyot. Micha presents in artistic detail a vision of what will transpire. As we read these next psukim, I encourage you to think in pictures. As in earlier Nevuot, Micha employs terms associated with husbandry. He speaks of the returnees as if they are sheep that have been scattered and must be collected. Hashem's approach is that of a sensitive shepherd. Gently and with great care, Hashem will return his captive people to their lands. Those who have been physically and or spiritually broken by Galut, the diaspora, will be revived. Pasuk Vav, 6. Bayom hahu ne'um Hashem, osfa hatzolea, v'hanidacha akabetza, v'asher hareoti. Pasuk Zayin, 7. V'samti et hatzolea l'sheirit, v'nahala'a l'goyatzum, u'malach Hashem alehem v'har tzion me'ata v'ad olam. And I shall make of the limping ewe a remnant that will generate the revival of my nation. And of the exhausted lamb, I shall raise a mighty nation. And Hashem will reign over them on Har Zion, Mount Zion, from now until forever. Now, the final section of this chapter speaks to the security of the new nation that will arise. Rashi, Radak, and other commentators connect these psukim to the miracle that took place in the time of Chizkiyahu, Hezekiah, king of Yehuda, when the king of Assyria, having captured a number of the cities of Judea, sent a message threatening to finish off Malchut Yehuda, to destroy the Bet HaMikdash and exile all survivors. The Assyrian plans were thwarted by an angel of Hashem, who brought a plague upon their troops the very night that the army was encamped at the gates of Yerushalayim, poised to attack. This event is described in Sefer Melachim, Kings 2, as well as in Sefer Yeshayahu, Isaiah, and Divrei HaYamim, Chronicles 2. The language of our text, while open to other interpretations, seems to support Radak and Rashi. If you look back at Sifrei Yeshayahu and Melachim, you will notice that the Assyrian emissary, in trying to convince Bnei Yehuda to leave willingly, tempts them by saying that if they cooperate without a struggle, they will be transported into a new land, wherein each family shall sit beneath its own vine and fig tree. Familiar, no? Additionally, when King Chizkiyahu, Hezekiah, sends his own emissaries to the Navi Yeshayahu, they compare their dire situation to that of a woman in labor, whose pains have so exhausted her that she hasn't the strength to birth her child. Micha also called upon this image in the previous parak, and as we shall see, he uses it again in the psukim that we are about to encounter. Pasuk Chet, 8. Va'ata migdal eder, ofel bat zion, adecha tete, uva'a ha'memshala harishona, mamlechet levat zion yerushalayim. Just as Micha mentions specific cities by name when rebuking them in Perek Aleph 1, he does so again when he comforts them, saying, And you, Tower of Eder, fortress of Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion. To you shall they return, and the original kingdom will return, the original monarchy, to the daughter of Yerushalayim. At this point, Hashem reminds the people that he has always been with them. Their suffering at the hands of Assyria was not coincidental. It was part of a divine plan that meets out both punishment and rewards. Midah kineged midah. Pasuk Tet, 9. Ata, lama tari rea, hamelech enbach, im yoatzai chavad, ki hechazikech chil kayoleda? And now, Hashem asks, why do you seek re'im, friends? That is, why do you form alliances with heathen nations? Agav, by the way, let me remind you that seeking the military aid of an idolatrous nation was a gateway to the service of Avodah Zarah, false gods. Since theocracy was the norm in biblical times, and pledging one's allegiance to a nation involved in agreeing to worship that nation's deity or deities. The text continues, do you not have a king? This seems to be referring to Chizkiyahu, who was a righteous king, the only monarch who succeeded in abolishing Bamot. Have your advisors deserted you, that you have become engulfed by trembling like a woman in labor? Chizkiyahu's kingdom, after all, was blessed with a number of Nevi'im to whom one might turn for counsel. The next pasuk tells the people to accept their destiny for now, that they will eventually be brought to Babel, Babylonia. Not a pleasant thought on the face of things, but the Navi also points out that while they are in Babel, Hashem will redeem them. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Chuli vagochi bat Zion, kayoleda. Ki ata tetz'i mikirya v'shachant basadeh, uvat ad Bavel. Sham tinatzeli, sham yigalech Hashem mikaf oivayach. Suffer your pangs and cry out, Bat Zion, like a woman bearing a child. For now you will leave your city, you will dwell in the fields. The metaphor is not always consistent, by the way. And this verse may be addressing Zion, the geographical entity, echoing Micha's previous warnings to the cities of Malchut Yehuda, or, by extension, it may refer to the people themselves, the progeny of Bat Zion, who is depicted as a woman about to bear a child. Although you will be brought to Babylon, the Navi says, where you will be further exploited for a time, Hashem will redeem you in Babel from the hand of your enemies. In the next verse, the Navi speaks of the enemy's plans to destroy the people of Yehuda. This is a theme that was timely in Micha's days, but tragically it is no less relevant in every era of Jewish history. As previously noted, the prophets, whose names were recorded in Tanakh, presented nevuot that applied to many or all generations. Is Micha talking about his generation or about the distant future? Yes, la plus ça change. Pasuk 11, Yud Aleph. Va'ata ne'esu alayach goyim rabim ha'omrim techenaf v'techaz v'tzion einenu. And now, many nations have gathered against you, saying, let her be ravaged, and our eyes will see that which we have envisioned for Zion. Things may indeed look very bad for Zion in Micha's time and throughout history. Nevertheless, Pasuk Yud Bet 12, Vehema lo yadu machshavot Hashem, velo hevinu atzato, ki kipsan ka'omer gorna. These conspirators do not know the thoughts of Hashem. They are not privy to his counsel. For Hashem has gathered them in a single place purposefully, like a sheaf of grain that is brought to the threshing floor. The enemies of Yisrael only think that they will implement their plans. Hashem has other plans. It is he who has gathered them. It is he who has brought them to the threshing floor, to the battlefield, baled into a sheaf and ready to be harvested. One can almost hear Micha saying, go get 'em, y'all. The metaphor continues in Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. Kumi vadoshi bat Zion, ki karnech asim barzel, ufarsotayech asim nechusha, vahadikot amim rabim. Vahacharamti lahashem vitz'am, v'chelam la'adon kol ha'aretz. Before I translate, a few words about the threshing motif. When one threshes grain, one beats the stalks against the floor or something else that is hard, and then one gathers the berries. And that is what B'nai Israel will do. They will beat the enemy, and then they will gather its wealth. Now, translation for Pasuk 13. Arise and thresh, Bat Zion, for I shall make of yours a horn of iron and hooves of brass, and you will crush many nations into dust. And I, says Bat Zion, will dedicate the lucre that they have plundered to Hashem, and their wealth to the master of the world. The final verse of this chapter encourages the people to go into battle by reminding them of some of the travesties that the enemy perpetrated against them. Pasuk 14, Yudalid, Ata, Titgodidi bat Gidud, Matzor samalenu, Bashevet yaku al halechi et shofet Yisrael. Did I hear Lashon nofel al Lashon? This time we also have a play on words. The root Gimel Dalid Dalid may refer to the flaying of skin as a sign of mourning, or it may refer to Gedud, a military troop. And in our pasuk it connotes both. Don't you love it when that happens, or not? The Navi tells the people, as for now you must mourn, because a troop has come against us. They have placed a siege around us. They lashed the cheek of the judges of Israel. This is not only a physical attack, it is an assault upon their dignity. And if upon reflection, the Navi strikes a chord that resonates within you, well, reflection is a good thing. Ibn Ezra suggests that the judge of Israel mentioned in the final pasuk may refer to the Melech HaMashiach, and that this entire paragraph may just as likely speak to events that are yet to come, when Hashem will judge all of the nations for the beginning of Perek Dalid, and peace will reign throughout the world. May these events come quickly in our own time. I hope that everyone has enjoyed this view of Achrit HaYamim through the eyes of Micha. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.